Go with me, if you would, back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Last Sunday night, I brought a message from Colossians 3 called Love, Peace, and Thanksgiving. And I did that because the Thanksgiving holiday was coming up, and I just felt led to do that. Tonight, I'd like to bring a message to you on the subject of giving thanks. Not because it's a holiday, not because of any day of the year. It's just a good day to give thanks. Our brother opened his Bible study with the same preface. It's a good time. It's always a good time to give thanks. A very dear brother sent me a text with this verse of scripture in it, and I read it and I said, amen. And I knew this would be our text tonight. So let's read verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18 says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, what stood out to me and what I want to emphasize is the word everything. Everything. In everything, give thanks. And I pray I might learn that. I pray that the Lord might speak to me, speak to my heart, and really cause me to learn that. I honestly want to learn that. In everything, here's the response. Give thanks. This is going to be a contrasting continuation to last Sunday night's message. This will be a continuation of what we looked at last Sunday night in a contrasting way. And I'll show you why I say that. Turn with me over to Colossians 3. That's where we were. Colossians 3, last Sunday night, we gave thanks specifically for the things that were mentioned in Colossians 3. That's what we focused on. And these are the things that were mentioned. If you look at Colossians 3, verse 1, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, we are risen with Christ. God's chosen people died with Him. That's amazing. Our Lord said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then He said, do you believe that? We'll find out when this body lays down. We'll realize that's not death. We died with Him. We died in His body with Him. We died in His blood with Him. We were buried in His grave with Him. And that was so that all of our sin could be removed from us. The only way for us to be removed from our sin was it had to die. And it did. It did. All of it died with the Lord Jesus Christ. And because it died with Him, it's gone. You say, well, I'm still doing it. Yeah, but it's gone. But it feels so alive in me. Yeah, but it's dead. He put it away. He put it away. Because it's gone, death and the grave cannot lay hold on us. It could not hold Him any longer. There's only one reason why Jesus Christ arose from the grave. It's because the sin was gone. The moment the final bit of that payment was made, God the Father said, raise Him out. Pull him out. He arose from it. We all arose with him. And that is a glorious thing. That's truly a glorious, amazing thing. Verse 1 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Christ is seated on the throne, seated in his holiness, seated in his glory, seated in his sovereignty. And that's a glorious thing, and we give thanks for it. Verse 2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Our life is hid with Christ in God. And that's glorious, and we thank God for it. Verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life. You talk about a statement to take lightly. Christ is our life. Why is Christ our life? It's only because he made himself to be our life. Had he not made himself to be our life, he wouldn't be our life. He would not be our life. We would be off doing something that we deem is more important. Something that we see to be life. Christ has made himself to be our life. And he's given us a heart that says, you're our life. You're life to us. We're a blessed people because of that. We're a chosen, blessed people. Thank God. Verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Is anybody looking forward to that? The moment that he appears, we're going to appear with him. We're going to be caught up into the clouds with him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord in glory. Thank God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 5 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. None of those things are good. None of those things are good. And we ought to strive. These, you know, evil concupiscence is lust. Idolatry is anything that we're seeing to be more important than Christ. Fornication, uncleanness, just we need to strive to put all that away. Verse 6 says, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. These are the very things that reveal sin in us and cause God to be angry with the wicked every day. Verse 7 says, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. None of us are exempt from any sin. Verse 8 says, but now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, that's ill will toward somebody, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. We ought to put all that away. Verse 9 says, lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds. We ought to put every bit of that away. But here's the thing. In this flesh, we're never going to be able to. Not in a way that satisfies God. But Christ can. And he did. And he did that for his people in his flesh. In his flesh, that describes exactly how he was. And he, when he came here, he removed what we read right there. That describes me. All right, all that wickedness and all that sin, that describes me. That's this old man right here. And Christ came and he removed that old man from us by laying our old man on himself. He wore this old man and stood before God in him. And by his Spirit, he took the new man of his own nature and he laid him on us. And when we stand before God, that's how God sees us. He sees us in the new man that Christ gave to us and laid on us. Verse 10 says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." Thank God. Thank God. We give thanks to God for the fact that Christ is all and in all. He is our all. He is in all. Verse 12 says, "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." Put it on, he said. In God's election, we've put on Christ's holiness. That's the only holiness that there is. We've put on his mercy. We've put on his kindness. We've put on his humbleness, his meekness, his patience, everything that he is, everything that makes him righteous, we get to wear. Verse 13 says, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." God's people say, Christ forgave us. Christ forgave us, and that makes us want to thankfully forgive each other. Thankfully. How easy and joyful it is to give thanks for these things. This is what we looked at last Sunday night. How easy is it and how joyful is it to give thanks for the fact that we have risen with Christ and our life is hid with him in God? And we've received from him all of these wonderful things. There's no reason for us to not give thanks for any of these things. We give thanks for every single one of these wonderful things. But go with me now back to our text, 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 18 does not say, "In wonderful things, give thanks." It does not say that. It does not say, "In joyful things, give thanks." It does not say, "In easy things, give thanks." It says, "In everything." In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I pray the Lord will really help me to know this, help me to do this. I pray that he'll help me to see the benefit of this. I want us to remember tonight that everything is not always happy, but everything is of the Lord. Everything is not always happy. It's just not. But everything is of the Lord. Everything is not always going to go the way that we want it to go. But everything always goes the way the Lord wants it to go. Everything may not be pleasant. It just may not be pleasant. But everything is always good for them that love God, for them who are the called according to his purpose. Everything everything. I want to, you see why I say we're going to continue reasons to give thanks in a contrasting way. I want to contrast everything that we looked at last Sunday night by remembering that we can and we should and we must give our Lord thanks for every dealing that He has with us. Everything that comes our way, everything that we go through, whether it's good news, bad news, meaning what we consider to be bad news. Everything is our Lord's sovereign, on purpose, hand to us. Everything that happens is what He has dealt to us. It's what He has on purpose specifically given to us. This is what I want you to have. This is what I want you to go through. These are the feelings that I want you to feel. This is what I want you to learn from it. He will deal with us individually. Every purpose that His hand lays on us, every path He leads us down, all of it is according to His sovereign will and design. And may God give me, honestly, may God give us the grace and the faith. If I could summarize this, this is what it would say. Trust Him. Trust Him. You know, I don't know if I like how this is going. I don't know if I'll trust Him. I don't know if... Trust Him. Don't question Him, Gabe. Trust Him. Don't get impatient, get out of sorts, and I'm tired of waiting. Trust Him. Just trust Him. May God give us the grace and give us the faith to trust Him and to give Him thanks for everything, because He knows what the outcome is. Even the difficult things, even if the outcome is difficult, even if the process is difficult and then the outcome is difficult. Difficult things, trying things, heartbreaking things, life-altering things, devastating things. May God give us the grace and give us the faith to trust Him and to give Him thanks for it. Truly to give Him thanks for it. You know the story of when the Lord took the lives of the prophet Eli's two sons. You know that story of when God took Eli's two sons. Eli, in sorrow and devastation, not in joy and peacefulness, in sorrow and devastation, but in faith and in an obedient, bowing heart, this is what he said. It is the Lord. Let Him do what seemeth Him good. And the important thing to take from that is the last word. It is the Lord. Let Him do what seemeth Him good. I want so badly to be given a heart that can actually say that. I do. Many believers have gone through what Eli went through. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that. I just cannot imagine going through that. I don't belittle trials. I don't belittle devastating things, and not at all. I cannot imagine going through that. But when something like that comes to a child of God, God does give His people grace and faith to bow to it, knowing He's doing this on purpose for good. These things, you know, we go through things and they're not happy. But God's children will always know that God's sovereign hand is in it, and they can be thankful for the goodness that they know will be the ending result of it. It's always going to end in good. Always. A child of God can always be thankful for the fact that he knows the just judge of the earth is going to do right. The end is going to be right. If it happened, it may be the most difficult thing that a child of God ever faces, but no matter how difficult, he or she knows it's right. If God did it, it's right. And it's going to bring good. And that's how we can be thankful even in difficult, trying, sorrowful things. King David, in his last words, said, "Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow." That's where he found his thankfulness at the end of everything that happened in his life. David went through a lot. He brought a lot of it on himself, just like we do. But he went through a lot. Was David happy at the direction all of his life had taken? Probably not. I would say no. But he could acknowledge God's sovereign hand in it, and he could give thanks for the goodness that he knew was going to come from it. The Apostle Paul, he was told by the Holy Ghost that every city he would travel to, bonds and afflictions awaited him. You think he was happy to get that news? No. No. But he acknowledged God's sovereign hand in it. We have his writings where he acknowledged God's sovereign hand in it. And he knew that if that's what God purposed for him, good would come to it. To the Philippians, he wrote from prison, "It's good that I'm here. The gospel's going to thrive because of this. This is for the furtherance of the gospel." He knew that. In that, he said he could rejoice. He told the Philippians, "I rejoice. Give thanks." So this life holds pleasant things and unpleasant things. Happy things, sad things, easy things, difficult things, wonderful things, devastating things. But in all of it, we can acknowledge our God's sovereign hand in it. And we can know that our good and his glory is going to be the end result. And in that, we can be thankful no matter what it is. As long as he brings glory to himself first and foremost, and because he has promised good to us, we can be thankful in it. Verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Lord, put a heart of thanks in us, a heart of faith and a heart of thanks. We would be so thankful if the Lord would put a heart of thanks in us to truly trust him. Thanks for every providence, every purpose that he sends our way. I've told you this story before, but it's so appropriate for this. It's just so true. May the Lord teach us from this and help us to see these things. George Whitefield was going to preach, and he lived in the 1700s. And he was going to preach in a town that was a good distance off, and he was riding on horseback, and as he was going, it was pouring rain on him, just pouring down rain. And in his own account that he wrote, he said that he was miserable. He was headed out late to preach, and he said he was tired, and to his own condemnation, he said, "I had a bad attitude, and I was asking the Lord why all this rain? I'm going to preach the gospel and I'm tired and I'm this. Why? I'm going to have to stand there soaking wet. He's going to have to stand there and preach soaking wet. Why all this rain? Why just pouring the rain on me? And he said that, you know, he just went on with all of his misery and all of his murmuring and all of his complaining. And he said, about that time, I rounded a corner. And he said, a robber jumped out with a flint pistol and fired it at me. And he said, the flint was so wet, the pistol wouldn't go off. And he said, I hightailed it out on my horse, crying, thank you for the rain. Thank you so much for the rain. May the Lord help us in these conditions that we're in the middle of, that we're just so distressed by, and just so, may the Lord help us to see it's on purpose. It's for our good. It's for His glory. This will continually hold true right here. God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never failing skill, He treasures up His bright designs and works His sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan His work in vain. God is His own interpreter, and He will make it plain. He'll make it plain. And until He does, may God give us a heart to just be thankful. He'll make it plain. I know it's such a gloomy outlook. I know the providence seems so dark, and He'll make it plain. He will. So may He give us a heart to be thankful for all of His works concerning us in everything. Help me, Lord, help us to in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. All right, Brother Eddie, you come.